I love the Tampa Bay Times. Hello, friends. I'm your host, Nanette Weiser. And continuing our series of Tampa Bay Times Spotlight is the A-Team Girls, the most amazing writers and editors. Dear friend Michelle Stark is the culture editor for the Tampa Bay Times. Gabrielle Calisi, well, you know her from the kooky stuff she writes about, culture, music, and nostalgia. Welcome, ladies.
Thank you so much for having us.
Excited to be here.
I'm going to start with Michelle. Michelle, you actually started way back when with TBT and Ann Glover. Tell us a little bit about your backstory, your graduate at USF, and how you came to be a journalist.
Great question. I have been at the Tampa Bay Times for over 15 years now, which is an insane number to say out loud. I got hired as an intern when I was in college, a copy editing intern, in fact. So I was on the copy desk for about a year. And back then, they had several copy editing shifts throughout the day. So I worked like 3 p.m. to 11 p.m. every day. I learned a ton. I worked with a lot of great people. After that year was up, Ann Glover poached me for the, I don't even know what the team was called then, probably like the entertainment team.
Yep.
Features department. And I got to work with just an incredible group of people, including our music critic, our movie critic, our performing arts critic, our food critic.
In the good days when there were so many of them.
Yeah, we had a huge full roster of culture critics. And I learned so much from them and from my leaders at the paper. And I did a lot of different things, which I think really helped me develop into like a very multifaceted journalist. I did not start out as a reporter writer. I was doing a lot more like copy editing, designing. I would do video series. I would do social media back in the, you know, this is in the olden days of not quite MySpace era, but like Twitter was really big. Instagram was barely starting. And so I just tried to do as much as I could to stick around. And it seems to have worked.
Love it. What do you think is one of your favorite stories? I'd love to read when you go somewhere and you report out on things. So tell us a little bit about some of the things that have been on your docket so far.
Wow. So much. My favorite stories back in the day were probably when I was food editor. What year was that? Probably like 2015 is when that started. And I did that for a couple years. I managed our like 6-page weekly taste section, as an editor, but I also wrote like a weekly column. And then I also would write just like food feature stories. And some of my favorites were, you know, one time I went over to Il Ritorno, the Italian restaurant in downtown St. Pete, and I watched them like make pasta, and I made fresh pasta with them. Stuff like that was always really fun. So I got to know the area pretty well doing that, and meet a lot of cool people.
I love that you say you're a proud owner of way too many boots for someone who has never lived in a state with seasons. That's just so funny. So moving on to Gabrielle Calisi, culture, music, and nostalgia. Relatively new beat. Multifaceted. Tell us a little bit about your backstory.
Sure. Well, I moved to Florida when I was 8 years old. So I still remember sort of we came down here and there was like 4 hurricanes in a row. And I was like, what is this place where we live? And so I try to channel a little bit of that spirit of wonder and confusion into the stories that I write, because I really want to help to explain this like weird, wacky, wonderful place where we live. So I think my favorite stories sort of delve into what makes Tampa Bay, Tampa Bay, what makes Florida, Florida. A lot of this is like diving into our archives, exploring like our history, really just helping people to answer all these questions that pop up when you're exploring, you know, the place where you live.
Absolutely. And you also were editor of an A24 travel book, Florida, a Hyperlocal Guide to the Flora, Fauna, and Fantasy of the Most Far Out State, Florida's Long Lost Hot Dog Girls. Tell us about that. I'm curious.
Yeah. So the book for A24, they approached me because I just am this human who is very loud about Florida. I'm very proud to live here, and to help people understand their state is one of my favorite things to do. And so it was a nearly 600-page volume. I wrote a lot of it. I hired different writers around the state to help me tell stories about their corner of Florida. And it was inspired by some of the stories that a couple years prior I had done. For example, like the hot dog girls, that was one of the ones that actually the person who hired me to do this job for A24 A24, they had read my past reporting on the Hot Dog Girls, which is one of those Tampa Bay lost sort of traditions. In the 90s, you had women selling hot dogs and thong bikinis on like crowded sort of interstates and roads.
That was me.
You were like, look, I know some hot dog girls. And I was looking to kind of explore the history of these women because it's such a unique and very Florida job. It had come to me after I wrote a story about some strip club history. I started with like, why does Tampa have so many strip clubs? Which then like sort of dovetailed into why is there a spaceship on the roof of 2001 Odyssey over there on Del Mabry? Which then led someone to ask about the hot dog girls. And so all of these sort of wacky things kind of became my beat, and they slapped the title on it, culture and nostalgia. They added music like in 2023. And so sometimes I'll do music reviews, talk to bands. And also like because of this beat, I'm now in a band.
Hex Appeal. Tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah. So Hex Appeal is a multi-generational, all female, all DIY punk band out of St. Pete. I was sent to Ladies Rock Camp on one of these stories for the Tampa
Jesse
Bay Times.
Peters, you girl.
So basically, Girls Rock Camp St. Pete is this local chapter of an international movement where it's a summer camp for girls and gender expansive youth to come learn instruments in a week, write a song, and then they perform it in front of 1,000 people at Janus Live. And for the first time ever, they were doing it for adults, Ladies Rock Camp. And Stephanie Hayes, who had written about Anarchity, the collective band of campers from Girls Rock, she forwarded me the press release and she said, you should do this. And so I went to Ladies Rock Camp, which is only 3.5 days. It's like a shortened version of – it's great. It's super cool. Got paired up with these other wonderful women. We wrote a song. We played it. And the opening band for the Ladies Rock Showcase, Doll Parts, I had actually written about them because the mom, Stacy, who's in Doll Parts, her daughter, Summer, formed her own band called Spoiled Rat. And now they play shows together. And so she saw us get off stage after the Ladies Rock concert at Bayboro Brewing. And she said, you should come and open for my band. And so our band just like never stopped. We actually just released our first single, Haunted, which is on all the streaming platforms, Spotify, Apple Music.
You're going to send it to us so we can play it here?
I will.
All
I'll
right,
send you the file.
Email. Yeah, absolutely. That'll be our new theme song.
So you never know sort of where the adventures of reporting will take you.
I want to talk to both of you. You know, things have changed. AI, it's very fast. There's a small news hole, whether it's digital or there's print. And then there's just not as much as many people in time. Michelle, talk to me a little bit about the process behind the scene as an editor, pitching stories and working with your reporters. Give us some insight.
So, yeah, a lot of things have changed. I would say the process of how we all sort of talk about that stuff has changed, and it also has not. A good idea is still a good idea. And the people who remain, especially at the paper, are just so good. You know, people like Gabrielle who come to me with like the wackiest, wildest, like most clever ideas you've ever heard. Something that I don't think an AI bot could ever dream up. And so that sort of has stayed the same. I mean, if something sounds compelling and interesting and we know that our readers are going to be into it, which Gabrielle is very good at like sussing out, I sort of just try to let people run with it. We have, you know, meetings. It's a little less formal than it used to be, I would say. But
yeah, you don't have an office anymore. You will have an office. But
yeah, we're in sort
of
a temporary space right now. And we try to get together as much as we can. But that has evolved a lot. And we try to be intentional about still talking and staying in touch and getting together. But it has certainly been a lesson in like figuring out how people work, and everyone works really differently is what I've learned. And some people don't need to be seen every day to be really productive. And again, it all just sort of goes back to like, if it's a good idea, it's a good idea. And if you're a good reporter, you can execute it. And I think you have to develop that trust as an editor and just sort of let your people go with it.
You not only work on the weekend section and the digital section, you also do a Do and Die newsletter. Tell us a little bit about that. And folks, we encourage you to sign up for it. It is fabulous. We try to link from it every week from our LinkedIn, but go ahead and tell us about
it. Yeah. So newsletters are a huge part of the Tampa Bay Times now. They're email newsletters that get sent out once a week. I don't even know the exact number of how many we have. We have quite a few. Gabrielle writes one every week, also called The Rundown, which is a daily newsletter that each team in the newsroom like contributes to. But Do and Dine sort of evolved from this food newsletter we used to have years ago, which was one of the first newsletters I think we had at the paper. And yeah, it's just the point is to be really engaging and sort of behind the scenes and take readers into like the minds of our amazing writers and reporters. And our food critic, Helen Freund, has really anchored that newsletter the whole time it's existed. And I think sort of like the personal touch that she brings to that has really made it sing. And so I contribute to it now, and I just sort of try to keep that theme going. And we get a lot of response to the newsletters. I think people like hearing us, you know, speak in that sort of voice, and it makes them feel like they know us a little bit more.
Since you mentioned your food writer, reviewer, Helen Freund, folks, you can enjoy an evening of culinary discovery with my favorite issue of the year, The Big Reveal. Tell us about what's going on November 11th at Coastal Creative.
All right. So I am knee deep right now in finishing up this project and the event. So is Helen. It's the most exciting time of year, though, for us, because her top restaurant package is publishing November 11th. And we are having a huge event to celebrate. I actually just went to a walkthrough of the venue today to sort of like figure out last minute specifics. And I think it's going to be really exciting. We're basically unveiling the top 10 of her list at that event. The other 40, she's doing 50 this year, will be revealed in the days leading up to it online. And then we're having a big print package that's coming out on the 12th. But if you're at the event on the 11th, you can get it on the 11th, actually.
So you're not sleeping for the next week.
Yeah, pretty much.
Love that, folks. November 11th, 5:30 p.m. Tickets will be sold out. There's limited availability. We hope that Radio St. Pete will be able to rebroadcast that incredible panel. And that's very exciting. And the top 50 restaurants of Tampa Bay, we've become a culinary scene. Gabrielle, we've also become a music scene. Talk to us about how the music scene, in your point of view, has changed and what's interesting.
There's so many cool things going on in the music scene here. I was just at the Yuengling Center in Tampa last Saturday for the Dochi concert, and it's been really, really cool. Our Tampa girl, to see her headlining an arena show. I actually saw her in 2023 when she was opening for Doja Cat, and she came out on an airboat, and she was in a trucker hat, and she's twerking with all these sort of swamp men. And I had the chance to talk to her then about how she grew up in Tampa, went to Howard Blake High School, was cutting her teeth in these hookah bars and clubs of Ybor City, and really was like becoming the person that she is now. And so it was a very cool full circle moment to kind of get to see, you know, this person who has this huge national platform now, Grammy award winning artist, is using every opportunity to tell labels, to tell people in the music industry, come look at Tampa, come look at Florida. We have some really, really cool musicians. So that was like a really wonderful highlight of my year, getting a chance to go and see her again and review it. It was just very, very special.
Well, behind you, it's Radio St. Pete, where local music lives. We have 5,200 songs in our library. We have 22 hosts. Maybe one day you will think about adding radio music hosts to your thing. But I want to say that, of course, Jay Cridlin, who's still now with the, is it the Education Hub he's
yes.
working with? One of my favorite music writers. And you have become, she was in Europe, I believe, at the Nice Jazz Festival too, Dochi. So I found about her from Europe. But then I read your story and I'm like, she grew up here. Great. What are you working on next that you can share with us or give us a tease? What's on your agenda?
So I'm sort of coming out of a bit of a Halloween mode. I had just published this insane story about a lovely, strange man. So do you know Dr. Paul Bearer?
It was this story. Oh, we're going to put a link to this story. Please tell our listeners. I didn't even know he was alive.
Well, there's Dr. Paul Bearer has been reincarnated. So between like the mid-70s and mid-90s, there was a TV horror host, Dick Benick. He was a Winter Haven man who would put on crazy grease paint on his eyebrows, and he would go into this fake castle in the Channel 44 TV studios of St. Petersburg. And every Saturday afternoon, he would turn on the TV and he would say, "I've been lurking for you." And he would introduce and kind of periodically pop up throughout these B horror movies. Like, really, like, some of them were classics, most of them were not great. And he would make fun of them, and he would kind of be this friend that you would listen to. And so he died in 1995. And a lot of people still have this sort of collective memory of Paul Bearer. And I went to pitch this story to Michelle. I said, I think, you know, I go a lot in these history Facebook groups that we have online when I'm looking for story ideas. And I was like, we should write about this. And so she was very supportive. She was like, okay. But then I'm Googling around and I'm like, wait, who is this Dr. Paul Bearer? And there's a new man who is carrying on the Dr. Paul legacy. He actually has the blessing of the original Dr. Paul's widow. So I'm actually going to see him today at the Quaker Steak and Lube. He's doing an appearance with the Butch Patrick, who played Eddie Munster. And I wrote a profile sort of on both of these Dr. Pauls and the continued mission to
it
just...
It was fabulous. Oh. So basically, that's the Elvira of Florida.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so that was kind of like, you know, doing a lot of these Halloween-y stories has been great. But as we're looking into the new year and, you know, really launching all this great new food coverage, one of the things that I'm really excited for is digging in deep into the history of these iconic dishes. So this year, I wrote one story about the history behind the 1905 salad at the Columbia restaurant. And I also wrote a history of guavas in Tampa. Like, how did Tampa become the big guava? You go and have like all these iconic dishes that kind of include guava. And it turns out that this fruit is sort of what led to the founding of Ybor City. So I'm really, really curious to kind of dive into more of these histories of the foods that we just love and that really define our area.
I have to have you and Gary Mormino in studio together because, of course, his new book is coming out, and we'll have to have you as Happy Hour with a Historian. Michelle, I want to talk to you a little bit about are we allowed to talk about it that's coming up, or you don't want to know? We won't talk about that.
No.
Anyway.
After the 11th.
After the 11th. So you have to come on November 11th. I also want to do a shout out to Morgan Whitley and thank her for allowing Radio St. Pete to rebroadcast. Next week will be the next one. It's the November 6th, and it is with Kanika Tomlin's group and Foundation for, I don't have it right in front of me, so I'm not going to say it right.
Pete.
Yep. And we're thrilled to have these spotlights. I want to talk to you as an editor and part of the team about, you've done meetups at the coffee houses. Lots more engagement going on than ever before. Talk to me about what's going on with increased community engagement in person.
I love this question. I am so passionate about this. I think it's so important that we continue to be a huge part of this community. And I think for people who have lived here for a long time and remember, you know, the St. Pete times, and they've been with us the whole time, they understand what we're all about. A lot of people who live here now don't, because there's a lot of new people in Florida and there's a lot of young people who don't read newspapers. And I think they would be into the content that we produce, and they should know what we're doing and what we're all about. So yeah, we took some, I think, big steps this year to really get out there with events like News and Brews and like the Top Restaurants event that we're doing. I think 2026 is going to be even bigger and better. And I'm really hoping that that's like a huge priority for the Times, that we can get out and do events and maybe sell some merch and just get
we
into
need
spaces.
Merch.
We need merch.
We need merch. What should we have? What should we have? Let's dream this up right now.
Hats, T-shirts.
T-shirts.
Tote bags.
I want earrings.
Oh, we'll make it happen.
Earrings. I have a ghost with a book. I want earrings, and I want a mermaid, a weeky watchy mermaid reading. But seriously, I mean, why not merch? I mean, why not bring? I have a dress that shows newspapers all over it. You know,
love it. I think the sky's the limit for that kind of stuff, and I think people like. Young people especially like a tactile experience. It's like back in fashion again. You know, it started with record players, and now it's, you know, they're making their own zines. They love to collect, like, you know, little tchotchkes. I just think, like,
tchotchkes.
Yeah.
Tchotchkes.
Why not?
Little trinkets.
Little trinkets and memes. We need to have shirts with memes. Yeah. You know, like, what is it? I'm going to say San Diego, but it's not. It's St. Pete, blah, 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 Tokyo, Paris,
yes,
right?
Exactly.
Right, right, yeah. Right. You know, and I love it. All right, so I have to ask you this. What's on your bookshelf, Michelle? What are you reading and what podcasts are you listening to?
Ugh, my bookshelf. I'm a terrible reader of books because I read so much in my job. that's basically all I do. And so I'm so bad about reading books. I do a lot of nonfiction reading. I read like a lot of other journalism. Podcasts I do listen to
a lot.
I have a commute and I like am always into a different podcast. Right now, I love the Ringer company and their Big Picture podcast, which is all about movies. And that's like a deep passion of mine. So I listen to them every week and I learn a lot. And I just like to engage in that space because we don't, you know, do much of that anymore at the paper. So
love that. And I'm going to ask you, Gabrielle, the same thing. Podcast, music you're listening to, reading. What are you looking at?
So right now I'm reading. Do you know the author Laura Lippman? I'm reading her latest. I believe it's called Murder Takes a Vacation. I had the pleasure of seeing her at Eckerd College's Writers in Paradise. Not this last year, but the year before. She was one of their speakers, and she read one of her essays from her book, sort of like memoir style. And I was like, oh my gosh, she's incredible. She's hilarious. And so that's kind of what I'm reading now, is sort of like a cozy mystery to sort of like ease into that winter time. But I love podcasts. I love any NPR podcast about culture, like Pop Culture Happy Hour.
I listen to Susan Stamberg.
Anything that, like, you know, there's so many like wonderful journalists there. So I really, really enjoy that. And then just like some fiction writing podcasts. I'm like heading next week to Spruceton Inn in the Catskills for a writing residency. And so really kind of trying to prepare for like sort of my, all writing is fun writing, but this is my other fun writing that I get to do. And that's kind of just been really nice to sort of like listen to people talk about craft and what makes them excited, and also how to sort of tackle some of these writing problems that we all have when we're putting words on the page and trying to make it sound as nice as possible.
You must have known my next question. Michelle, what is your advice to up and coming people who write? Now, I don't have a journalism degree, and I always say you can learn the journalism part, but you should have a passion. What do you say for people who are listening who may be 7 to 70 who want to write?
That's a great question. It's tough to get a job in this industry right now. I don't think it's tough to produce interesting content. And I think like if you are interested in pursuing a path of journalism, that's where you should start. I mean, anyone can make their own podcast. Anyone can make their own TikTok. Anyone can start a blog. And I think like if you have a point of view, if you have good ideas, you should get those out into the world however you can.
Love that, Gabrielle.
I think that a lot of people say, I want to be a writer, and all you have to do to be a writer is just write. And I think a lot of that is just start somewhere. And you can't be a writer without reading, so just like voraciously consume whatever it is that interests you. I think for a long time I felt a little bit of imposter syndrome, or like this pressure that I have so many wonderful friends in our newsroom, outside of our newsroom, who are journalists, but they're tackling these investigations or big accountability pieces. And so I was like, am I not a serious person because I want to dress up like a mermaid and write about WikiWatchy?
Well, I think that's very serious. And I was scared for you myself. So there you go.
But you know, I do think that like you have to be true to like what really matters to you. And like 10 years ago at the University of Florida, I had like a music blog where I would take pictures of bands and interview them. And it was one of those things where I was like, this is so fun, but I'll never get to like do this in my day job. And you just never know. So I would say anything that is interesting or sounds wonderful to you, other people are going to have that same curiosity. So just like find your other weirdos and like go be with them and just keep writing.
Your Japanese Moai, the four. I want to thank Michelle Stark, the culture editor, and Gabrielle Calisi, the culture, music, and nostalgia reporter. There's so much more than that. They're the heart and soul of this community. They shine a light on stories, wacky and wonderful. Let's not forget that on November 6th, there is a Tampa Bay Forum, or Tampa Bay Times Forum, on a very important topic and keeping communications alive. And then on November 11th, a wonderful night with Helen Freund and Michelle Stark. We don't know who in the culinary world. That's at Coastal Creative. We'll have all of those links up. If you want to sign up for the newsletters, go to TampaBay.com. Is that right, Michelle?
Yep. /newsletters.
/newsletters. And I want you to follow Gabrielle and Michelle, Gabrielle on Facebook, and be sure to support the Tampa Bay Times and local journalism, TampaBay.com. Subscribe. Parting words, Michelle, and then Gabrielle, before we sign off, to our listeners.
Well, thank you so much for having us. I mean, again, this is all part of like us getting out there into the community. And I appreciate any chance to get behind the microphone.
And I want to echo that. Thank you so much for like believing in our mission, supporting our mission, giving us this wonderful platform to just meet with the wonderful people that support your show and love all the things that we do. I want to plug the fact that we have a series called Florida Wonders. And so if you have questions about Tampa Bay or Florida, how we do our journalism, any of that, just send us an email. Send me an email, Gabrielle Calisi. It's gcalisi@tampabay.com. But the great thing about the Tampa Bay Times website is, you know, you can go and see our little faces at the bottom of our stories, click on them, shoot us a message. But like, we really, really love reporting on questions that people have. So help us sort of help you and be little investigators for you.
Well, if you think that Radio St. Pete is where local music lives, with Michelle and Gabrielle, this is where the wonder begins. Thank you both. I'm your host, Annette Weiser. This has been another Tampa Bay Times Spotlight. Until next time, aloha. Good job, ladies.
So fun. Sweet. Thank
See
you.
See how fun it is? So, I mean, we can do this all day long.
Yeah.
You know, and you can come in. We can do it as a question and answer. We can come in and you can do it. We can just rip and read, which is what we used to do in the radio business.
Yeah.
And you should think about using our studio if you want to do an interview here. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, we can keep the recording till the story runs. We don't have to wait till